Take your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Book of Philippians, chapter number 2, as we continue our sermon series through the book of Philippians. This morning our passage will be chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. Before we get into the scripture this morning, let me ask you this morning, what does one do if they care for somebody? What does someone do if they care for somebody? I know some of you have some different ways of showing your love to people, and sometimes very sarcastic ways between. It's really interesting on Wednesday nights to see the different couples, and I have to know which ones are going to share the prayer list and which ones I need to give a prayer list to both of them, because sometimes they just don't get along, you know. But we have different ways of showing love to those people that we care about. Jesus was asked a question in Luke chapter 10 about, you know, eternal life and obtaining. He said, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and to love your neighbor like yourself. And Jesus asked that, you know, that person, well, are you doing this? Yes. And then the person says, well, but who is my neighbor? Who am I to love? And Jesus gives a parable, you know, the heavenly story with the earthly meaning. And he talks of a man traveling from Jerusalem who is robbed on the road, and he's beaten, he's mugged, and he's thrown in the ditch. And as he's in the ditch, a priest comes walking by, and he sees the man lying in the ditch, and he goes to the other side. And he keeps on walking. And then all of a sudden a Levite comes. And he sees the man in the ditch and he goes to the other side and he keeps on walking. Then comes the Samaritan. And the Samaritan comes and he sees the man lying in the ditch. He's beaten and he comes over to him. He gives him aid. He helps him. He feeds him. He takes him to an inn and he gets some care at the inn, and he tells the innkeeper, even whatever care that you need to continue his care, when I come back through, I'll pay for it. And he asked him and said, now I know that story. Who is the neighbor? And the man said, the Samaritan. You see, because when we care for people, there are actions. When there's care, there is not just a passing by, but there are actions that come with it. Here now in Philippians in chapter 2, Paul has spent time discussing with the Philippians that walk that is worthy of the gospel, that he started with that command in chapter 1 in verse 27. And we got the idea of walking worthy of the gospel and what that looked like and striving side by side in participation for the gospel. And then he talked about looking on others' interests in the first part of chapter 2, and to think of others, and then to have that mind in us which was in Christ Jesus, who took on the form of a servant. And after he talked about that, we saw last week and the week before about walking in obedience, doing all things without grumbling or disputing and debating. And now here, after all that, he gives us some travel plans. And he talks about a couple people. He's going to talk about two people that are going to be coming to the Philippians. But in talking about these two people, he's going to flesh out and give us fleshly examples of what he's talked about from 1:27 all the way through. And he's going to start with Timothy. Timothy, the one that cares. And let's look here in chapter 2, beginning in verse number 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the Father he has served me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So now as he's revealing these travel plans, it's a travelogue, so to speak, He's referring back to what he had written earlier in chapter 1, where he had told them of his affairs. He had reported of what was going on with them. The Philippians were concerned about what was going on with Paul. He said in chapter 1 and verse 12, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." And he talks about his affairs. He talks about the things that have happened in his life. All those things that are going on with him in verse 26, "so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." He's told them of his affairs, and he's told them, "I would like to come to see you again. But first, there's this little issue of being in prison. I have to see what's going to happen here in this prison. But I want to come to you, and I want to be with you. I want to come check on you and to see how you're doing." And now here he picks that back up after that period of teaching from 127 all the way through to 218. He now picks back up these plans, and he starts with his travel plans. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I may be cheered by news of you." Paul now wants to hear of them. He wants the news. Oh, if Paul had Twitter and could get immediate updates of what's going on around the world. But no, he was going to send Timothy so that he could get a report of how it was going with them, of how it was is happening, and he wanted Timothy to see the condition and report to him. The news is referring to the state, the affairs, their condition. So Paul had a plan. In verses 19 through 24, we're going to see he wants to send Timothy, but Timothy's going to come later on. In verse 25, he talks about sending another one. "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need." First, he's going to send Epaphroditus back. And as we look at next week, we're going to see Epaphroditus was sent by the Philippians to Paul in jail here in Rome to minister to him. And we're going to see what happened with Epaphroditus. But now Paul is going to send Epaphroditus back first, and then Timothy. Epaphroditus is going to come back with this letter, with this letter and teaching and report of his condition back to the Philippians. And then Timothy is going to come after to see how they're putting the work of the letter into use. You see, Paul wasn't just giving plans, and he wasn't just talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus, but he was also giving them kind of a commendation on their way. You see, in the days of Paul, when they would write a letter, they would give a short commendation of the letter carrier. They would find a way to say, "You need to receive this one as you would receive me," and to give a commendation of them so the people would know to receive him, to receive this letter, and to receive it with teaching. And it's kind of a stamp of approval. So Paul is commending both Timothy and Epaphroditus. And this was to help give some credibility. But in these commendations, we're going to see Paul is giving examples of what he's already taught. Some of the themes of the things that he's already taught, he's giving us in these examples. So Paul wanted to hear how they were doing, so he sent one to see how they responded to the letter. He would send Timothy, this one that would care. Now I want you to notice with me four principles this morning about one that cares. One that cares. The first principle we see, and we see in the life of Timothy here in verse 19, is that they care enough to inspect. They care enough to inspect. In verse 19 it says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you." By news of you. Here who we see he's going to send Timothy. We see this is mainly the purpose that we see Paul sending of Timothy. The rest we see a lot about Timothy. But here's the main purpose. I'm going to send Timothy to you so that I can hear news of you. So I can be cheered about what's going on in your life. I'm going to send Timothy to report. I'm going to send Timothy to inspect what's happening there in Philippians. And he wanted Timothy to see, hey, how are they listening? How are they acting out chapter 2 here? He didn't say chapter 2 because he didn't write in his letter chapter 2 verse 1. You know, but he was, I want to know, how are they responding to having that mind of Christ? How are they responding to walking side by side together? How are they responding by looking not on their own interest, but on the interest of others? I'm going to send you, Timothy, so you can inspect what's going on. You ever had a big evaluation at work? You ever had, the times where you have to sit before your bosses and they have to inspect everything that's going on? Ever had a surprise inspection? When I was in my undergrad at Arlington Baptist College and I worked at Walmart, and my senior year, I worked all night. And after I graduated, while I was looking for a youth pastor position, I was promoted to a over-the-counter pharmacy manager. All right, I was a pill pusher for a little bit, okay? Don't hold that against me. And so as I was there in the over-the-counter pharmacy, the first day that I walked into this store, it's a brand new store for me, I just clocked in, I'm walking down to my department, and there, standing in my department, was the store manager and the regional manager. And they're looking at this terrible section of, was a clearance section, I guess, for the previous guy, and he had stuffed everything in here. It looked terrible. Nothing was signed right. The prices were all wrong, and they are just tapping their toes. I'm sweating bullets. First day on the job. Guess what was my first duty? To clean up that section. You know, these inspections in our life are there for opportunities for us to be able to grow. You know, Paul wasn't just concerned with telling the Philippians, hey, this is what's going on in my life. He said, I want to know what's going on in your life. You know what? I care enough that I want to see what's going on in your life. I want to inspect. I want there to be a little bit of accountability. You see, someone that really cares for us will hold us accountable. And if we ask people to hold us accountable, you don't ask it of anybody. You ask it of those people that you know that you can trust. Those people that you know that are going to be there for you. Those people that you know that care about you, that are willing to say, no, you don't need to do this. Yes, you do need to do this. We don't need those in our life that are going to enable us to continue down the patterns of bad behavior, but we need those people to help inspect and to look at our life. Here we see one that cares is one that is willing to inspect. The inspection then allows growth. We don't always have to hate tests, do we? But tests allow us to see where we're at. They allow us to see where we need to grow. You know what, right now with our kids, the big thing is the STAR test. I'll never forget last year, Nicole was trying to pump Hayden up and to get him excited and okay as she's driving him to school, and he's about to get out, and he said, listen, Hayden, just relax, you're going to do okay. You know, just go in there and just do your work, like it's no big deal. And as Hayden's getting out of the door, he said, Mom, if the state of Texas is going to look at it, I'm pretty sure it's a big deal. But you know what? Tests allow us to see how we're growing. They allow us to see what's going in our life. And you know what? The people that care about us are willing to inspect. They're willing to say, hey, let's get something right. Timothy would care enough to inspect and report back to the Apostle Paul. Then we see in verse 20 that one that cares is one that cares enough to be genuine. To be genuine. In verse 20, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Paul said here in his commendation of Timothy, listen, I have no one else like this guy. I'm going to send him to you because he's going to be genuine. He's genuinely going to be concerned about you. He's genuinely going to care for you. This, I have no one like him, it literally means that he was like-souled. He was like-minded. This was somebody that was consistent with Paul's heart, consistent with what Paul would have. And we know from what Paul has already written, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We see the gospel was wrapped up in who Paul was, and that was all who he was about. And now he's saying, this is Timothy, and he's just like-minded in with me. He's going to genuinely be concerned for you. Now, we are good today about picking out those that are not that concerned about us. We are good today of recognizing the phonies out there. We're good about recognizing the salesmen. We're good about recognizing those that have their best interest in mind with us. And Paul is saying, I'm going to send somebody that's going to be genuinely concerned for you. That he's going to be concerned for you. This is that idea of being caring enough to be genuine. Not to have a hidden agenda, not to have our own interest in mind, but to be genuinely concerned for their welfare. That's to have that same sincerity that Paul had as he talked about in verse 8 of chapter 1, how he yearned with them the affection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? This sets Timothy apart, because look at verse 21. For they all seek their own interest and not those of Jesus Christ. Paul said, this is somebody different. This is one that is like-minded with me. And you know what? He's genuinely concerned for you. He's genuinely concerned for your welfare. He's genuinely concerned with how it's going with you. And he's not like the rest, because the rest are seeking their own interest and not those of Jesus Christ. Now, these rest, these others, it could be referring to the Romans in the church there that Paul was near and ministering to before imprisonment. It could have been even those at Philippi that he was addressing the problem of looking on their own interest to. Because this is almost a direct repeat here of chapter 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. This was setting Timothy apart. He was not like the rest. He was not like those that had those selfish interests. But notice the difference between verse 21 here and verse 4. In verse 4, let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. In verse 21, for they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. What is the difference? In verse 4, it's looking after the interest of others. Here in verse 21, it's looking after the interest of Jesus Christ. You see, what's important for us to understand is if we're looking after the interest of Jesus Christ, we are looking after the interest of others. Because who was on Jesus' mind? He said, "For I have come that I might not be served, but that I might give myself as a ransom for many." It is him that came for others. That is him that gave his life for others. And when we take on the interest of Jesus Christ, we take on the interest of others. Paul said he's going to care enough to be genuine. He's going to care enough to be concerned with you. He's going to be sincere. He's going to be selfless. He's going to be the example of what I was trying to tell you in back earlier in my letter. He wanted them to be genuinely concerned. You know, it's interesting. Even this past week, Tom Rainer, the director of Lifeway, he writes blogs and puts them out every day. He gets blogs and he does a lot of different stats and different things about church growth and church ministry. And this week he posted a blog about church outreach. You know what's interesting? He posted the top six things that works in church outreach. And you want to know what number one is? A personal invite. A personal invite. He said it is still the most effective means is a personal invite. And because of that, we need that genuine idea to care enough for people, to be genuine enough for people, to be concerned with them, to be personal, to be in their life. He cared enough to be genuine. Thirdly, we see that he cared enough to be tested. He cared enough to be tested in verse 22. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Timothy's proven worth. This word, it comes from a word that means to be put to the test. What Paul is doing here is he is describing the character that has come from test. We see it also in Romans chapter 5, where all these trials, these persecutions, when they are put forth, they bring character. And this character has come about through these trials, through these tests. He's saying, you know what? Timothy has gone through it, and you know his proven worth. You know that he has gone through it. He has demonstrated it. True care will come through the test. He said that he has proven his worth because he's served with me as a son with a father. He has served with me in the gospel. We see that close relationship of Paul and Timothy, of Paul being that spiritual father to Timothy, leading him and his family to the Lord. And then we see the discipleship that takes place and how he builds Timothy up. And then we see him being able to say here, listen, you know how proven he is. He's been with me. He has served with me in the gospel. Timothy cared enough to be put through the test, and he has continued on. He has worked for the gospel. He has worked. There are actions when we care. Those actions were proved. His actions showed his love through that service. You know, one that cares is willing to go through the test and the trials. One that cares is willing to walk with us through it all, that's willing to prove themselves. We see it through Jesus Christ, our example in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated that for us. And so we see this care is enough to be tested. It's enough to be demonstrated. You know, it's interesting how many times we want to say how much we love God, but yet we don't want to act like it. How much we want to say that we love and care for people, but yet we don't act upon it. And we want to say how much we care about people going to heaven or hell, but yet we don't want to act upon it. You see, this caring is a caring enough to be tested, enough to be demonstrated. Timothy cared enough to prove his character. And then fourthly, we see that he cares enough to be dependable. Look at verse 23. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Now, there's an interesting thing happening here in verse 23. We know that Paul is wanting to send Timothy to Philippians. This idea of hope is not just a wishful thinking, but in the New Testament, the word, it's a kind of a certainty. It's an expectation. He's saying, I'm expecting to send Timothy to you just as soon as I see how it goes with me. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, Timothy is someone that I want to keep around. He's saying, I'm going to send him to you, but just as soon as I see how it'll go with me, I'm going to send him to you after I know my verdict, after I know what's going to happen. Timothy is there with Paul. He's ministering with Paul, and Paul's saying, I'm going to send him to you, but right now I need him first. I need him right here with me. I need him to minister. Timothy was the one that was like-minded. He's the one that didn't deserve Paul. He's there with him even while he's in jail. He ministered to him and he was needed. You know what? Paul thought he was indispensable. I need this guy with me. And you know what? I'm going to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going on. You see, Timothy cared enough that he was willing to make himself indispensable, to make himself dependable. That Paul would say, hey, I need this guy. Not all people were needed by Paul in his missionary journeys. And we're going to see a guy in a second. But this guy, he says, you know what, just as soon as I'm done, then I will send him to you because this guy cares enough to be dependable. If God is God, and we care and love for God, then shouldn't it just be natural for us to be dependable by him? To be dependable and faithful in our work towards him. Paul says he cares enough to be dependable. So as he's commending Timothy, Think about those things here. Think about these four things. He said he's willing to inspect. He's willing to help keep you accountable. He's willing to be genuine. He's willing to have that care and concern for your soul, to be that transparent person who loves you. He's willing to be that sincere. He's willing to be tested. He's willing to be proven. He's willing to serve. And he's willing to be dependable, to be faithful, to be there through the thick and through the thin. Because he cares. He's willing to do these things. And he sends this as a commendation of Timothy. So what is Paul getting at here? What is it for us to take this morning? What is it that we can see besides these aspects of caring for one another? What is Paul getting at here? I believe Paul is showing us a principle. And we're seeing in these verses here a spirit that we see in the history of Paul, that we see in how Paul ministered, that we see throughout what he did on his missionary journeys, that we see throughout the life of Timothy. You see, Paul is showing what it would take. He's showing what it would take to get people that care for people. He's showing us how to build people that care for people, to come about to people that are selfless, that care for others, that people have that gospel focus and that are ready to live for Christ. You know what Paul's point, what Paul is showing us this morning is that one that cares is developed by one that cares. One that cares is developed by one that cares. You know, flip over to Acts chapter 14 real quick. And I want you to see this. I want you to see the history. Because then you can understand even more what Paul is writing here about Timothy and what he's commending to Timothy. It comes from an incredible backstory of one that cared, that built into someone else so that they might be someone that cares. In Acts chapter 14, we see the story of Paul's missionary journey with Barnabas in different places. And look down at verse 19 where he comes into Lystra. In Acts 14 and verse 19, it says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Paul ministering on this first missionary journey in Lystra, in Derbe, so much so that he was stoned. He was thought to be dead. They drag him outside of the city and the disciples gathered around him. Do you think Paul showed that he cared? Do you think Paul proved that he was willing to do what it took to bring people to Jesus Christ? He went to Lystra, to Derbe. Now look at Acts chapter 16. Coming back through again in Acts chapter 16, look at verse 1. "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily." So now Paul is coming back through. Because here, this is a journey with Paul and with Silas. They come back to Derbe. They come back to Lystra. And who do they find there? Timothy. A young disciple. One that we've seen, one to the Lord, as Paul refers to himself time and time again as his spiritual father, as a son with a father. This Timothy that was one to the Lord after those times that he was beaten and stoned to death, and he continued to minister, he continued to share the gospel, he continued to get up and go from city to city to city to share the gospel. This one and his family are led to the Lord. Then he's traveling back and he's coming through, and before they got to this journey, before they come, there was a division between Paul and Barnabas. In chapter 15, at the end of chapter 15 in verse 37, it says, "Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there rose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Then we see him coming to Derbe and Lystra, and we find there Timothy, who was well spoken of." You see, Paul just didn't take anybody with him. We see this one that had withdrawn himself, one that was not dependable, in John Mark. And you know what he said? "I'm not taking him with me." I guarantee you that if you were going to get in Paul's bandwagon and go with him on these different journeys, you might have some stones flung at you too. And you know what Paul said? "I want some people that are going to be with me. I want some people that are going to be like-minded. I want some people that are going to be with me when, you know what? When they start putting me in jail, I'm going to know that they're going to be dependable. I want some people that are going to be able to drag me outside the city when they're stoning me to death. I want somebody that's going to have a care for people's souls, that when I say I need you to go to Philippi, that he's going to get up and he's going to go to Philippi." Because they have a care for the gospel. You see, later on in chapter 16 is when the work at Philippi begins. As Paul comes into Philippi and we see Lydia come to know Christ, and we see the Philippian jailer and that household come to know Christ. And guess who was with them? Timothy. So when Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, "But you know Timothy's proven worth," they know it because they saw it. They saw that he was one that cares. And you know what? If we're going to develop people that care, we got to be one that cares. One that cares developed one that cares. It happened by intention on missionary journeys. It happened by looking into others' interests. I guarantee you, when he was being stoned, that Paul's mindset was others' interest rather than his own. And it led to Timothy. You know what Paul would tell Timothy in his second letter to him? In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "But the things which you have heard amongst me, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He said, "You know what? What you have learned from me, what you have developed from me, I want you to be able to teach others also." And what is he showing these Philippians? He's showing them as that same thing as in verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." That he had that mindset of Christ to win people to the Lord. He had that mindset of Christ who took on himself the form of a servant, who emptied himself for us, that he might redeem us. You see, we are all here today, and we can all worship today, and we can all sing that He is mighty to save, that He's our Savior. And we can all sing that there is a Redeemer. Thank you, O my Father, for sending us your Son. We can sing that today because He first loved us. Because John 3:16 is true, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we can be people that care because He cared for us. And now it's our turn to be one that cares, so that we might develop one that cares. We're going to have to do that by caring enough to inspect, by caring enough to be genuine, by caring enough to be tested, by caring enough to be dependable. And to be able to say, I have a concern and a genuine sincerity for those people around me that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Beyond just living for my own interest, I need to live for their interest. DJ, grab everybody a piece of paper there. This morning, before we come to our invitation, I want you to do something. You got a pen, grab a pen. And DJ's going to hand you out a little piece of paper. Pass those out real quick. And this is what I want you to do. As we see this example of Timothy, as we see what Timothy is modeling for us, what he's showing us, one that cares, develops one that cares, on this piece of paper, on your front side there at the top, wherever, nice and big, I want you to write Paul. I want you to write Paul. On your front side, I want you to write Paul. On that front side, you're going to write Paul. On that back side, flip it over. And at the top, I want you to write Timothy. I want you to write Timothy. So on one side of the paper, you have Paul. On the other side of the paper, you have Timothy. Paul, Timothy. And once you do that, flip over to that Paul side. And on that side with Paul, I want you to do this. I want you to write down some names of people who cared for you. You see, because each of us have somebody that cared for us to show us Jesus Christ. We had a friend that personally invited us. We had a Sunday school teacher that was faithful in sharing Christ. We had parents who brought us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If there was people in our lives that directed us, that moved us, that cared enough for us, that cared enough for us to share Christ with us. And on that Paul side, I want you to write those people. You might think of those people every day. You might haven't thought about them in a while, and maybe this morning it's good for us to remember those people that cared for us to share Christ with us. And then once you do that, I want you to flip to that backside of Timothy. And in thinking about those that cared for us on this Timothy, I want you to think about that one who was cared for. That Paul was willing to go on those missionary journeys for, to be beaten, to be stoned for, that he might share the gospel, to stand up, to proclaim Christ. And I want you to write down some names of those that you know you need to care for. Those that you know that you need to care for, that you need to have a burden for, to see, to come to know Christ as their Savior. Those that you know that God has given you a direct opportunity to be able to be in their life for a purpose. Beyond just living a good example in front of them, but being willing to share Jesus Christ with them. And let's write down some names of people that we need to care for. And if we're having trouble writing down some names of who we need to care for, then we need to find some people to care for. Then we need to find some people that we need to show Jesus Christ to. That we need to be loving enough to share that with them. You see, when Paul would write that in 2 Timothy, things which you've heard of me, the same commit to faithful men, those on that side, on that Timothy side, are those ones that need you to care enough for them so that they might be one that cares for somebody else, that continues on in the work. You see, there was a youth pastor in Fort Worth that had this guy that came to the church softball leagues, and he played on the church softball teams, and he would do things just to make that youth pastor mad. Every now and then he'd throw a swear word out just to get under his skin. He'd smoke out in the parking lot to get under his skin. He would do anything, say things while they were eating pizza just to see how the youth pastor would respond. And in the parking lot of the church one night after the softball, that youth pastor stayed there with that guy. And he led him to the Lord. The guy out of the Air Force, there stationed in Carswell, that he led to the Lord in the parking lot of a church because he wouldn't give up on him, because he cared for him. And folks, I'm thankful that a youth pastor was willing to care enough. Because that was my dad. That somebody cared enough for to lead him to the Lord. And I'm thankful I had a dad and a mom who cared for me, to drag me to church every Sunday, to teach me the things of the Lord, to prime my heart. And I'm thankful for that Sunday school teacher, Diane Cannon, who sat there on a ledge in our Sunday school wing and showed me how to accept Christ as my Savior, so that today I can share Christ. And I can show somebody else how much He has cared for us. And as we look forward today, we have an opportunity to be one that cares, that can develop someone else that cares. Shall we stand? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, as you're standing there, I hope you still have that piece of paper in your hands. As we're here this morning, as we see the example of Timothy and the example of Paul, people that were so concerned for people, they were willing to inspect, to hold them accountable, to be genuine, tested, to be dependable. And as we think of these names, this morning I pray that we would be the ones that care. To strike a fire this morning to tell people about Jesus. To go beyond the fears . Have the courage to talk with a neighbor, a family member, to point them to Jesus Christ, to know how much He has cared for us. And you know what, as we come to this invitation this morning, I want to ask you, with that piece of paper, with those minds, with those people that are on your heart, I want you to take them before the Lord. I want you to inspect, even in your life, to say, am I willing, am I able to care enough for them to do what it takes to share Christ with them? And this morning, as we sing the invitation song, this time of response, maybe be an opportunity just to come up to this altar and put these names out before God. To lift Him up and ask God, to give us a heart of love, a heart of revival in us, to care enough for others. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray now that you would move in this time of invitation. Help us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do, what you're pressing upon our hearts now, Lord. As the Spirit moves, Lord, help us not to quench it, but help us, Lord, to follow, to obey, to care enough. Lord, not so that we can just be comfortable in our church, but God, that we would have a desire and a genuine concern for others. Move, Lord, as only you can. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise. For it's in your name we pray.